Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Before we get to Mike Wood, I realized I have made a terrible mistake, John.
Oh, please do tell.
So in doing the research on the ChrisDosev.com that links to Grindr,
correct,
you know, that, right. That I did look up to make, I entered the website to make sure that it,
you're
I did not
ads.
Do this in incognito mode.
Oh, no.
So, and
Andrew.
Okay, it's worse. It's worse.
You're getting ads now.
I knew what Grindr was, but I wanted to be sure that I wasn't mistaken, so I did a what is, you know. So both of those are on, it's not that it's in my history, it's what's going to be on my social media feeds now. What kind of ads is this? Because you know, if you even
can't make this up.
If you in your head think, oh, I might buy a Chevy. Well, you know, Facebook's going to give you 83 days worth of force-fed Chevy ads.
Now.
Oh, good Lord, what am
I
in for? Dumb Andrew. All right. With that in mind, let's go to Mike Wood. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. I'm so sorry.
Hey, it looks like you took one for the team. You probably saved a lot of listeners a lot of heartache from doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's what I did. I'm sure that.
Look at the bright side.
I know. Okay. Anyway, I feel like take one for the team might not be the best phrase in this environment, but okay. So anyway, let's just move on as best we can. Where am I? You guys, you had a Whataburger on Davis and Burgess got robbed at gunpoint earlier this month. Is that right?
Yeah, it was through the drive-thru. The individual ordered a soda, and when he pulled up to the drive-thru, he displayed a gun. He did apologize beforehand, but still the same. He robbed them and got some cash, and I think it was only $100. It's not, you know, there's not a lot of people using cash anymore, so armed robberies at restaurants and convenience stores is not very lucrative these days. But, yeah, he was arrested for that incident.
You know, that's actually – do you know, is that actually more likely or is it more – are you seeing fewer of those kinds of robberies because the prevalence of cash is so much lower?
Well, I mean, the armed robberies, I believe – I'll have to look it up to make sure, but just being told through interdepartmental emails and things like that they're – they're not like they used to be. The numbers are just not there. And why that is very well could be because of people using mostly debit and credit cards now.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, criminals are behaviors in an environment where they have to respond to what, you know, the market's doing around them. And if the market's not paying them what it used to pay, I mean, interesting. I'd never thought about that, but it's a great point you make. You guys had another burglary of a church last night. Is that right?
Yeah, that was last night at First United Methodist Church at 6 East Wright Street. They were able to see by video that the individual was inside with a flashlight. They deployed a canine and eventually caught the guy outside the church in the courtyard area. And then they did some more investigations and found out that church was burglarized 3 nights before as well by this person. So, so good capture on the part of patrol last night.
I mean, what was he trying to get? I don't think of First UMC as like the repository of great wealth. He's trying to steal candlesticks or something. Like, what was he trying to get?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if they called if he had anything on him, but it's hard to tell.
Okay. All right. Curious. One of the big news stories of the week was, what was it, yesterday we had a bomb threat that turned out to be nothing, but still you got to take these things seriously at near Lakeview, right?
Yeah, it was. It was outside on a table, and it's unusual for a person to walk up to an employee and say, hey, there's a backpack over there on the table, and it's got a bomb in it. So, you know, bomb threats have happened before, but usually for an entire building or a school or something like that. But this was an individual a package. So we evacuated the buildings around that and blocked off the area. Bomb experts came in. They took an X-ray of that backpack and determined there was nothing inside.
And this is a case where the person who left the backpack was not the person who reported it, right? There's no connection between the two?
No, there's no connection. We're still looking for the person that left the backpack.
And, you know, I remember living in London a long time ago, you know, in the mid-90s, and, you know, they would close down, the underground routinely because somebody left a package. It was high terrorism, you know, watch time back then. But You know, we haven't seen a lot of this stuff, but you have to take it seriously because that's exactly what it would be like, whether it's a Unabomber or a terrorist or whatever, is you have to take appropriate measures just in case, right?
Yeah, and let me correct myself. The person that left the backpack was located. There was nothing. He was not trying to do anything wrong. It was the second person that reported that the backpack had a bomb in it. That's the person that we're seeking.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Not because they have done something wrong, but just wanted to make sure, right?
Well, the person that said that there was a bomb in it is the one that did something wrong.
Oh, he actually said it was a bomb. Okay, my fault. I listened very poorly, so I apologize for that. We're talking on Tuesday with Sheriff Simmons about ShotSpotter. He indicated that we all know the funding has gone away, but he also indicated that, you know, they weren't particularly sad about the technology going away because the vast majority of the shots identified were not crimes necessarily. They were just accidental discharges or, you know, things that didn't amount to anything. Have you guys, I mean, what's your perspective as a department? And I mean, I assume ShotSpotter is going away because the money's gone away. But you tell me, is that true? And is it something that's really led to a lot of solved crimes?
Most of the time we would get there and find shell casings, but nobody injured. So that indicates to us that they were shooting in the air or maybe in the ground or to scare somebody or for one of many reasons they could have done that. But we also had incidents where a person was hit and we may not have known about it until they either went to get treatment at the hospital or some other way, but there was no 911 calls right after that. So it goes both ways, but I agree with the sheriff. Most of the time it was just we would get there and nobody was injured and just found shell casings in the area.
And there's no plan to particularly pursue funding to extend the contract, right? Or is there? You tell me.
Well, we would like to. ShotSpotter is good. I mean, it's shown us that it's worth. You know, I don't know if it's worth the price that they want. I mean, it's a service. That's how they make their money. But it has helped us. So this is something that we are looking for grants to extend. But if we don't find that sort of funding to do it, then we're not going to have it anymore. It's as simple as that.
On that note, I saw something. I think it was New York City had installed a technology that they were calling Sound Spotter. And it was designed where you would basically have a camera array on a light pole and basically a microphone, the kind of thing that you might see on the sideline of a sporting event where it's designed to capture, you know, noise at a distance or whatever. And it would measure the decibels. And so people dry on, you know, illegal mufflers or playing music too loud, violating their sound ordinance. It would read the sound, capture the license plate on the camera, and then basically issue a ticket like a red light camera, but for sound violations. And I immediately thought of all the problems that you guys have had with downtown sound violations. Is this something that PPD has looked at, that, you know, the city is looking at? Do you know? Has it even come to your attention yet?
Not today. Look, you know, with red light cameras, an officer can see if the violation actually occurred or not. There's no doubt whether it did. With sound, I'm sitting here trying to think, how are we going to verify that? So to answer your question, no, we're not looking at anything like that.
Yeah, I don't even know enough about the technology. I wonder if it runs a video recording essentially and captures the sight and sound all together at one time. But yeah, I was curious, and you know, as expected, I think you guys aren't doing that. And council can make whatever decisions it wants to make, I suppose. Last thing we always like to before we get to the did you know, any updates on red light cameras since you mentioned them? Any new information, data? Have we seen it affecting crash one way or the other? You know, sometimes the theory is that it increases the number of fender benders, but decreases the number of serious crashes. Have we seen anything that we can latch onto as far as it working or not working yet?
I don't have that data, but I will have it for you the next time we speak. I can tell you there's still plenty of people running red lights, though.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt that at all. I see them all the time. We always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth. Do you have one for me this week, Mike?
Yeah, we're always talking about debunking myths on cop shows. And how about myths about the cop show itself, the show Cops? You know, the music that you play before I come on each week is from the show Cops. And one of the myths is about that song was made for the show. That's not true. That song existed before the show ever came to be, is one of the facts. The other one is that every person that's arrested on that show must sign a waiver to appear on the air. So you would think, you know, a person's worst day of their life, they certainly don't want to be put on national television, but there's a bunch of them that do.
You're telling me that the can of corn guy in Santa Rosa County signed a waiver?
Yes, or they would not make it on the air.
Wow. Man, people will do anything to be famous. Okay, all right. Wow. Okay, go on. I'm fascinating.
Yeah, even if it's for 5 minutes. So, yeah, that was surprising to me as well. But, you know, the engineers, the crew are supposed to stay out of it. They're supposed to film, and that's it. But there was one incident where a sound engineer had to toss his equipment on the ground in order to assist an officer that was in a fight. No officers on the show are paid. The show got its... was able to get on the air and was picked up by Fox during a writer's strike in 1988. This show has no script, so no writers were needed. So it was a perfect timing situation for that. And last but not least, some of the law enforcement agencies who participate in the series see the show as a positive recruiting tool, while others see it as a liability. And I kind of actually think that it's a good positive recruiting tool myself. But yeah, there you have it. Some facts about the show.
Interesting.
Itself.
When was the last time you guys were on Cops?
We haven't been.
Ever?
I believe Escambia County has. And
yeah.
Some others. No, we have not. We have not.
Interesting.
Been,
I know Escambia and Santa Rosa both have. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, interesting. Mike Wood. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He always tells us what's going on, helps keep us safe, and puts up with me, which is the biggest challenge of his job, I'm sure. Mike, thanks. Thanks as always, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Top five.
Top five.
Thank you.
Only top five? Oh, man, I can't even be best at bad things.